sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, starting from scratch, you get to pick any quarterback in the NFL to lead your franchise. Hopefully the defensive players aren't trying to hurt them. You get to you have to consider age. You have to consider contract here. It plays a role. Which quarterback are you taking?
Because of the fact that the contract, to me, makes the biggest difference maker in all of this, because of the fact you got to put the rest of the roster around them, I think I'm probably going to lean Jaden Daniels. I think that Mahomes is only 29, but when you think about Mahomes and Allen and Lamar and all the money that they're making and how difficult that, and we know the numbers and how it's stacked against them to win a Super Bowl when you already have a quarterback making 25-30% of the salary cap, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels. He's 24 years old. He had a phenomenal rookie season. He's athletic. He runs the ball really, really well. He can pass it too. And to me, I can build a whole franchise around him with a quarterback that is that dynamic, that still throws the ball that well, and you have that much the ability to build the rest of the roster around him.
Yeah, I don't hate it. From a salary point of view, it's the best quarterback value around. Oh, C.J. Stroud's on a rookie deal. Yeah, but he's about to get paid. Mm-hmm. He's going to get paid sooner than Jaden Daniels is, a year sooner. No, I'm not mad at it. I don't hate it. I'm still going to go Mahomes, though, just because I think Mahomes is the greatest quarterback currently going. Of any quarterback currently in the NFL, he is the greatest. He has a chance to get up to where Brady's at. So I would go Mahomes with mine. And yeah, he's making a lot more money, but it's still friendly-ish, team friendly-ish. Like, he's not getting what Allen's getting, not getting what Lamar's getting, you know, all of that. So because it's still a tolerable contract, and because he's the best quarterback currently going, and he's still somewhat young, 29, and I think he's going to age like fine wine. Like, he doesn't need the athleticism. He has it, doesn't need it, because he's a great thrower of the ball. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, the guys you guys listed are my top two, and I was really struggling on this, like, how much do I want to weigh age and the rookie contract versus the proven results of winning three Super Bowls and getting to two more. And I ultimately landed on the proven results because Jeremy mentioned there in his argument about Mahomes, like, he's making a lot of money, but do you know where he ranks AAV?
Mahomes?
Yeah.
10th.
14th.
Okay, even better.
I mean, it's almost, you know, it's getting pretty close to the halfway mark or, you know, even the bottom half of the league, which maybe it will be once Stroud and a couple other guys get paid. So you're getting the proven results and you're only paying 14th on AAV. I think if Mahomes was, you know, the third highest paid quarterback, then I probably would lean towards the rookie contract, the age and all that. But 14th in AAV, I'm going to go with proven results and take Mahomes.
And I think because I started with Mahomes, but then because of the fact that I know the numbers are stacked against teams winning the Super Bowl when you have, you know, have a guy that's on a contract that big. But the biggest asset, because it's still, I understand why you guys both would take Mahomes, is because he's willing to take less and fluctuate his salary to help the team. Because in this day and age, and with the money that's being thrown around, you don't see other guys doing that. You don't see, everybody points to Tom Brady, but since Tom Brady, most guys are just hell-bent on, and their agents are hell-bent on, getting the most money and taking advantage of, you are the next quarterback up. You are going to be the next one to cash in to the maximum extent.
Don't you think the Commanders are dropping off this year?
I think they're taking a half step back this year, yeah.
He doesn't think that based on Jaden, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. I'm just saying if you're starting a franchise.
Okay, all right. They pulled the Athletic took a poll. They had 31 responders to this poll, and they gave them three picks. They gave them three picks. So each person got three picks. 31 times 3 is 74. Josh Allen was number one. With
really?
22,
doesn't make my top three.
22 votes for Josh Allen. Who's three?
Hurts.
Wow.
Because Hurts, because similar argument as Mahomes, not only does he have the proven result, in his case, making two Super Bowls, winning one, but he's only a couple spots ahead of Mahomes in AAV. He ranks 11th in AAV.
Explain to me.
I'd probably have Hurts in my top three as well.
To your argument, Jeremy, about like the success and the skins on the wall and everything too, though.
I don't call Washington that anymore.
Right. But the fact that you're looking at anybody that, if you have your choice between Lamar, who's 28, Allen, who's 29, and Mahomes, who's 29, and they're all got their money.
Yeah.
why would you not take Patrick Mahomes?
They're out for sure. Like, Allen's gone. Lamar's gone. Burrow's gone. I think my top three would be Mahomes, one. I put proven commodity a little bit over the potential of Daniels. So I would go Mahomes, Hurts, Daniels. One, two, three. Who would be your third?
It would probably be I would lean Joe Burrow.
He's getting paid.
He is, but it's not as crazy as high. Like, and it's not little, one. I think it's six.
He's slightly younger than those guys. That's one I didn't look up.
He also has great taste on who he hangs out with in elevators. But Allen, go ahead.
He's 28.
That's upper 20s. I mean, I think he's going to be around for a long time. Quarterbacks can play for a long time.
I mean, he could have 7-8 years left easy.
7-8 years. Allen, number one at 22 votes out of these 31 times three. Mahomes and Burrow each have 19. Daniels has 13. Lamar had 7. Justin Herbert had 4. Never won a playoff game.
Ugh.
Justin Herbert has 4.
And he's getting paid.
Drake, that might be the one that I disagree with the most. Like, I disagree with Herbert getting 4 more than Allen getting 22. Because at least Allen's going to win you an MVP or two. Like, I don't love
and
the
get
Herbert
you to
at
a
4.
Conference title game.
I don't love the Herbert at 4. Drake May at 2. CJ Stroud at 2. Baker Mayfield at 2. And then Lawrence, Nix, and Ward.
Someone voted for Trevor Lawrence?
One but one. Yeah, maybe.
Was it Liam Cohen?
It was Liam Cohen.
Help me understand.
Duval.
So Allen had 21, and then what was Mahomes?
22. Allen had 22. Mahomes had 19.
Okay, because I was going to say, I don't understand there being a gap at all. There shouldn't be, but there shouldn't be any wide gap from the fact that what is the lure for Allen over Mahomes if they're less than a year apart in age? What, that Allen runs better?
Because generally we overrate highlight worthy plays. I think.
Well, we are definitely sports center babies for the most part. That people waste so much on that in all of sports these days. But I just don't understand it when you have a proven commodity and a winner like Patrick Mahomes, and you're going to tell me that Allen got more votes. Why?
I agree with you. It's unexplainable.
The only thing I can say is the running aspect. But again, we don't want our quarterbacks running that much if they risk the injury taking big hits.
Devil's advocate here, because I'm 100% on your side, as you know. I'm not an Allen stan. This is this point going forward. So they think the next 5 years for Josh Allen, 7 years, 10 years, are going to be better than Mahomes' window of that same time span. I would disagree, but just putting that out there. I think that you get enamored, not you specifically, people in general, get enamored with highlight-worthy plays, regular season numbers, MVPs, because there's no way that I would take Allen over Mahomes. I think it's ridiculous.
I think that's also maybe people overreacting to the Chiefs' offensive downturn the last couple years.
Probably.
Like, they're not pushing the ball down the field the same way they did with Tyreek, and so maybe they're overreacting to that.
See, and to your point about, well, maybe you get a couple more MVPs or he's going to have that kind of season. Well, Lamar can do the same thing for you. Regular season, he could play his tail off based on what he's done so far and win you a couple MVPs. But what's he going to do when it comes to playoff time?
100%. The 31 people panel, too, by the way, these are conducted with coaches and executives around the NFL. So
Liam Cohen did vote for Trevor Lawrence.
Maybe so. I wonder if you can vote on your own. It doesn't say that. All voters were granted anonymity to speak freely. Some voters chose to skip certain questions, or their categories with fewer than 31 votes. That's so soft. Hey, you don't have you get anonymity, but I'm not going to vote on this one. Soft. We lived in a soft culture.
You're just afraid the vote's going to come out?
I don't know. It's so weird. Maybe.
That's the year that Worrell voted Harden was the only vote for all defensive team.
So these are coaches and executives.
And they found out it was him.
Yeah.
And that's when the league started saying you can't vote for your own.
Yeah, Harden had a good defensive year that year. Worrell knows what he's doing. Go Cougs. What was I going to say? I forgot. I think we read the whole list. Yeah. So Lawrence, you have a bigger beef with Lawrence than Cam Ward?
I honestly heard Lawrence and I spaced out. Well, I forgot everything else you said.
You think Stroud at 2 is unfair? You think it should be more?
I think the people who voted for Ward and Trevor Lawrence should give their votes to Stroud or somebody else.
I think they should flip Herbert and Stroud at minimum.
Herbert
having 4 and Stroud having 2
for
feels
sure.
Dirty.
Yeah,
there.
Flip them.
But also the fact that Cam Ward's getting votes because, again, you got him for 5 years. At a very, very reasonable contract, as opposed to Lawrence as another guy that's already gotten paid.
I would take my chances on Ward over Lawrence.
Yeah, I would
100%.
Too. Yep.
Lawrence shouldn't have gotten a vote.
They shouldn't have gotten
a vote.
Plain and simple. I would say Herbert shouldn't have gotten any either.
I would agree.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. I think that all the luster's off of Trevor Lawrence from ever since he was playing 7-on-7s and winning national 7-on-7 tournaments. Everybody, the hype around Trevor Lawrence all the way through Clemson, I think that's all kind of worn off.
He was really good 2 years ago, and then last year was atrocious. Or was it 3 years ago he had the big year?
I think it was 3 years ago.
3 years ago? Oof.
Okay. The first year of, what's his name?
Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson, yeah.
I'm curious to see what Cohen does with him, though, because Cohen's a quarterback whisperer.
He's an offensive mind. We'll see.
Quarterback whisperers. The text line, 713-780-ESPN. Israel says Lamar, hands down. Of course, Patrick is that guy, followed by Jalen Hurts. So he goes Lamar, Mahomes, Hurts. What were you talking about?
I mean, the fact that we know the way that Israel leans.
Which is what?
You want me to say it, but you know that he has a racial bias when it comes to just about every one of his takes.
I mean, I had two of the same three that Israel did. I had Mahomes and Hurts in my top three.
If Lamar's three, I'm not as mad at it. Lamar shouldn't be first, though.
Josh Allen or Lamar?
I would take Lamar.
I would, too. Josh Allen, running ability and production without a star receiver, says a texter. They don't want a star receiver. The last time they had a star receiver, they ran him out of town.
Yeah, well, it's not like Lamar's had a lot of star receivers.
Is it fair to ask who's the better passer between those two?
I think Allen's a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd probably slightly in Allen.
Okay.
And it's totally fair. Pat Mahomes, Bo Nix, Shador Sanders, all capital letters. It's not Israel. I think it was somebody maybe taking a shot at Israel, but it wasn't Israel. Keith from L.A. says easily Josh Allen. How is that so easy?
I don't understand it at all.
I'd rather have Matthew Stafford than – I'm kidding. He says Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Michael Penix. Huh.
Well, there's another one from – I mean, he's a salary player, but I get it from the salary.
Believer in Penix.
He's an older second-year player. Isn't he already like 25?
Does that matter 26? A whole lot?
Kind of, yeah, if you're factoring in age as a part of the equation.
Yeah, it's still young enough. I mean, we have 29-year-olds on our list.
But I'd rather my second-year player be 23 than 26.
You, though, to like win it all? The ratio thing matters. Like, if you have a 25-year-old on the second
year. You're changing the question, though. The question's not to win a title next year. It's if you're building your franchise from this point forward.
But it also includes contracts. So, like, contracts absolutely comes into play in this conversation.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if he's hitting his second contract at 27 versus 31, I'd prefer the former.
I hear you on that, but if – let's just say the players are equal, because, like, it's impossible to qualify, like, how good the player is.
You haven't
but
seen what we got in the expansion.
Like, if the player's equal, like, wouldn't you rather have a 25-year-old in his second year – if the player's equal to a 22-year-old in a second year because of the maturity, I guess it wouldn't be more experience.
Yeah.
The experience would be the same.
Experience would be the same, and I think it's also maturity is based upon the individual.
Because you're saying the ability's the same?
Yeah. So I guess that there's a wrinkle in it when it's the ability. Because like a 25-year-old's going to be closer to his peak than the 22-year-old. And you have a player, a quarterback, that's closer to his peak while you still have more years of his rookie contract than a talented player who's further away from his peak.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's a ratio to me. I do see that point. Closer to the peak on a cheaper salary,
more able to capitalize.
Further from his peak on a cheaper salary.
You take the younger guy if you don't know the absolute ceiling, to say that the younger guy, as he matures, while you have him under the cheap contract, could actually reach new heights that we maybe are higher than the guy that we're talking about at 26. Because I think if you say the ability is the same across the board, then I'm taking the younger guy.
Like Stroud's 23 this year. So CJ Stroud, his 5 years of his rookie contract, you know, the player option on his fifth year, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Would you rather have CJ Stroud those 5 years on his rookie contract, or would you rather have him 23, 24, 25, 26, 27?
You're also the problem. I see your argument, but the problem with it, though, is you're equating NFL experience to age versus years in the league.
Well, I think that the older you are, the closer you are to your peak, although the experience is equal.
I would put more weight on experience in the league than the number of your age, though, is what I'm saying. Like, I get what you're saying, that usually for the average quarterback, you hit your prime at 27, not 25.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's also, you're missing the ratio of how many, you know, how much experience you have in the league.
I think that the experience matters more, no doubt. But I do think that your physical prime is closer to 27.
That part is fair. I would more weigh the NFL experience than the number of the age.
I would too, but that wasn't the original argument.
Okay.
The original argument was Michael Penix's age being a hindrance towards him. I don't think it should be a hindrance.
The only thing that it kills you is the back end of his career, like how long he plays. Because otherwise,
I mean, it'd be what, three less years?
Yeah. I mean, I think
it matters.
It does, but if he's really good and you pick a 23-year-old who's bad, he's going to be out of the NFL. So I don't know how much that factors in.
You're also getting, in theory, less of his prime than you would with a younger player.
That's not true.
Well, if you're delaying his career by 3 years, then... I mean,
nobody's in their prime in their first 3 years.
Well, let's say... Right, so I'm just saying, so if player A is 22...
Well,
player A,
maybe. Year.
Well, if one player's hitting his prime, let's say they both hit their prime in their fourth year in the league, but one guy's hitting that at 30 and the other guy's hitting that at 26, I'd rather have the 26-year-old, because then there'd be more of that left over before age regression kicked in.
Look, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that we probably overrate Penix's age a little. Like, in a salary cap league where these contracts have structured terms, I don't care as much about the age.
Shouldn't injury history factor into this list as well, too? Because with a guy like Burrow, yes, he's getting the money, but he's also been dinged up to where you have concerns about certain quarterbacks, depending on how often they've been injured and what injuries they've had, no matter how good they are.
Well, that would depend on how much proneness to injury they have. Like, that would be
right, but I'm also saying,
you.
Like, even to your guys' discussion, if you had a college quarterback that was coming out or a guy on the list that was at 23, but he had significant injuries in college, I'd be a little leery of that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would factor into any player in your decision. That would depend on your thoughts on how prone they would be to injury. Like, I think Stingley's a guy you could look at. Like, Stingley had injuries at LSU and even had an injury in his first year at the Texans. And there was a lot of concern. Like, did Caserio ignore injury history more than he should? And, you know, knock wood, Stingley has found health, and that wasn't really a factor. Like, that was more random than something that's a constant. And I think that with injury, sometimes they can be random. Sometimes I think dudes are injury prone.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think that when you're starting a franchise, you have to have all the medicals and more to make that to be able to delineate and say, oh, that was a freak accident and an injury, as opposed to here's a guy that's constantly dealing with things that gives you the red flag of he may never be healthy.
Yeah. So are you there with Burrow?
I think I'm beyond. I think, look, Burrow had zero offensive line when he got crushed, to where I believe that with Burrow, I still believe in him that I don't think he's injury prone. Yeah. I think that's just one of those things.
See, I would argue that his are more fluke than injury prone. One of the things that I would argue for Burrow being injury prone is that dude doesn't avoid a whole lot of shots. And is that the offensive line play, or is that him being like a tough hero? And like, I appreciate the dude that's tough.
He stands in there.
But the longevity of your career is going to go down the more and more you're taking those hits.
It's kind of like what we've talked about with CJ, and also what the Ravens are trying to do with Lamar, to be very smart about when you run and how you run when you do.
Mm-hmm. Like a quarterback who's currently in the NFL who I think is injury prone, it's Tua. Like, I wouldn't touch Tua at all. And I still think Tua has some game. Like, I think Tua's fine. Like, his average NFL starter, maybe a little bit below average. But the proneness he has to concussions, like, I feel like he's one concussion away from retiring.
Well, you hear about guys in the past, Aikmans and others, that just had too many, that he's already had too many. And whether it's from the Alabama all the way to the NFL, aside from the fact that his arm isn't super strong, you look at that and you say, yeah, he's one away from it being over, I think.
You know who I'm worried about at the receiver position who's kind of the same way?
Oh, I already know. It's Chris Olave.
I'm worried about Chris Olave.
I don't.
He's like the Tua.
He's had three concussions in like 3 seasons so far.
Last year, the last one cost him like, what, 8 weeks?
It was a lot.
He missed the rest of the year. Maybe that was preventative because the Saints are, you know, bad. And like, hey, no reason to. I hope that they can figure that out with him.
He should be playing with the.
He's a stud.
The whatchamacallit.
I think he might have been. I think he might have changed.
Because the Packers, Dobbs does that now. Because Dobbs is another guy.
He should be, but he refuses.
It's exactly right. Dobbs is not Olave. But Dobbs with Green Bay had a couple of them right away, and now he actually is the one that wants to wear it.
Hey, I don't know if Olave's wearing it. Google says that he considered wearing one last year, but ultimately decided against it, opting instead for a safer, top-rated helmet model. He wore the cap during practice, but not during the games.
Do you think guys shy away from it more because of the aesthetics of the way it looks?
I think so.
I think so, 100%. Too.
I think in-game, for sure.
I think that matters. Yep.
It's manhood and pride.
Yep.
Do we have numbers on the Guardian cap?
Have we seen them?
I haven't either. Like, I wonder if they're – well, I mean, how do you measure a guy not getting a concussion that he would have had if he wasn't wearing the Guardian cap?
There's
I think
no
it's
way
hard
to know,
to
right?
do. It's like playing Russian roulette with these Kevlar caps.
Well, it's like that hair thing that we were talking about that they wear on the back of their neck that Dalton Schultz wears. Do we know that
– It would be kind of guesswork,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Unless he has some sort of pressure gauge inside the helmet where he could see like the pressure that the helmet was hit with versus what actually got. I don't know how that would work.
You see, that's a tough one with the neck thing, because the neck thing is supposed to counterbalance the blood in the brain and everything, the oxygen in the blood in the brain.
I don't know how you measure.
I guess you could take the general pool of concussions prior to Guardian Cap and then take the general pool of players who have the Guardian Caps that aren't getting concussions. Like, you could do it that way, but it would be the full body.
The average rate of concussions versus average rate with the Guardian Cap.
Yeah, but a lot of guys wear it in practice, won't wear it in games. And a lot of guys have said that a lot of what they got that led them to having issues was because of the hits they took in practice.
Yeah, it's definitely inexact. Google AI, which is terrible AI. Guardian Caps have shown promise in reducing concussions. NFL reporting a 52% decrease in concussions. NFL is also going to beef
juice
up their
the
stats
numbers, yeah.
Because they have issues with concussions. But whatever. So keep that in mind. But it says 52%. Some tests showing an average reduction in head acceleration by percentages up to 25% or more. So, I mean, they help. I think that I take the 52% with a grain of salt. That feels a little bit high.
And the helmets have been an issue, too. Like, if there are helmets that they believe are safer that guys aren't being allowed to use, that's an issue, too. Because Rodgers, for years, had that one that he wanted to use that was legal. Then it wasn't. And he's like, but if it's making me safer than the helmet you're providing me, why can't I wear it?
Well, the NFL would argue that it didn't make it safer. That would be the disagreement between the NFL and Aaron Rodgers. Because didn't they take that helmet out because of safety?
I want to say, but then either they brought it back or they brought back a newer version of it. Because I think a lot of it with the player, too, is the bulkiness of the helmet.
Probably. Comfort, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the NFL grandfathered a few players for a while, and then I think they dropped the grandfathering of it. Because he got away with wearing it for a while after it was banned.
He did.
Because he was grandfathered in. But, I mean, if they're getting rid of the helmet, I think they got rid of it because of player safety.
Or sponsorship.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, because a lot of times the NFL is looking to make deals with these companies. They have to be an official helmet provider. So they want to, like, save money in the process. So if you weren't like, an official helmet provider of the NFL, even if you have a safe helmet, it has to be – you have to go through the process.
Do you know this? Like,
yeah,
do you know the helmets that are allowed
Rodgers
by the NFL?
Thing was a big story when he was in Green Bay with the helmets that he wore, and supposedly there was an up and coming helmet company that wasn't mass producing helmets like Riddell and all these other companies, and they had a helmet that he wanted to wear that whether it was the NFL wanting money from them or whatever, they wouldn't sanction it yet, so he couldn't wear it.
Yeah, I guess I don't know enough about it. I just assumed that they had one company that was making all these helmets, but maybe
there's Shuck, I think it is, and Riddell, and there's a lot of different companies that make helmets.
Interesting. Yeah, I just always assumed it was like Riddell. You make all of them. Like, you're the leader in helmets, and we're wearing nothing else. Kind of like you wear Nike shoes, and that's it. You know, I always thought it was that thing, but. All right, more you know. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We're talking quarterbacks there. What are the worst quarterback situations in the NFL? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It's so great. Football is back. We love football. As you know, you love football. We love football. Football is back. And Underdog is where you need to be making picks and where you need to be winning money all season long. If you're hearing this right now, of course, you're in Texas, and you can play right now in the Lone Star State, and it's so easy playing on Underdog. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher on or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and more. It's easy to do, and it's fun to do, and if you get your picks right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. So why aren't you doing this? Download the Underdog app right now. You can get a Saquon Barkley free play right now. What does that mean? If he'll be higher than 0 yards coming up on Thursday, of course he will be. So take advantage of the free play right now at Underdog. Also, a 30% profit boost going on right now at Underdog. And still a few days to be drafting these best balls. You can find me in the lobbies. Also with Underdog, you have the originals like ladders. 3 to 5 picks, progressively win more based on how well each pick performs. Or the streak. Each streak starts by making 2 picks. If both are correct, the next pick for the streak becomes available. So download the app right now. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. So $50 on me. Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdogs. You need to be next. Underdog, make picks and win money.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Uncle Barney says his top three quarterbacks, Case Keenum, Kevin Cobb, and David Klingler. Go Cougs. Retirement. Although one of them's not retired. One of them's still alive and well in the NFL. Leading Caleb Williams to glory.
Thought he might throw the Heisman in there.
What's that?
Thought he might throw the Heisman in there, although he's got a bad back.
Yeah, it's kind of weird he didn't use Ware. The Heisman.
Although, recency bias?
I mean, he said Klingler.
Yeah, that's Klingler, what I'm saying. You're going to go all-time field-age quarterbacks.
Klingler was after Ware.
Yeah.
Klingler was after
but it
Ware.
But he wasn't so far after Ware that it'd be recency bias.
No, he was his successor.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it technically true, but it wouldn't play in for recency bias.
Which three of those four had the best careers in the NFL?
Well, Andre didn't have a great career.
Neither did Klingler, though. Keenum and Cobb are 1-2. Cobb probably
had a Klingler have a brother?
Yeah.
Because,
Jimmy Klingler.
Oh, so we had with the Texas Terror and the Thunder Bears,
yeah.
We had the brother
Jimmy.
That was as big as a linebacker that played quarterback. He was a big kid.
Call him fat?
No, I'm not going to say him that he was like the hefty lefty, but he was a big guy.
I mean, y'all but said it.
No, I didn't, because I said he's like a linebacker. I didn't say he was a D lineman.
Worst quarterback situations in the NFL. Number, you want to go 1 through 10 or 10 through 1? This is from The Athletic, by the way.
1 would be the worst?
1's the worst. You want to actually, why don't you take guesses?
Yeah,
I'll tell
fine.
You where they're at.
I want to say that Jacksonville's in the mix.
Jacksonville?
Because we just got done talking about Trevor Lawrence. They're paying him top quarterback money, and no one knows what he's still going to be in his career.
I mean, my first guess would be the Saints.
Well, I'm talking about, but they can get out of that easily. It's the worst for this year. Could be really good starting next year if they get a high draft pick and get a good quarterback.
He's just trying to name the top 10. Reminder, we're going to give away tickets here in a little bit, too, to our listener party. So I'm not going to tell you when.
I see where Joel's going, though.
Jacksonville's not on here, for what it's worth.
Because I'm just going from the fact that you're locked into a contract with a dude that you don't know.
With what you said, though, kind of made me think Dolphins. Like, okay. Tua, like
Colts has to be on the list.
Dolphins are number 8. Tua, Zach Wilson, Quinn Ewers.
And, I mean, Tua's one hit away from retirement. Plus, you're paying him. Plus, we think he's kind of mid. Like, that seems like a pretty bad situation.
They were number 8. Okay. They were number 8. Who did you say?
Colts.
Colts are second. David Jones. I can't wait for his banger to drop this week, by the way. I was thinking about that on the drive-in. I was like, I wonder when he does that, because I can't wait to listen.
Do we know what day that usually is?
No idea. No idea. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, Riley Leonard. Second worst quarterback situation in the NFL.
Is Cleveland number 1?
Nope. Browns are on this list, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers?
Hold on a second. Let me Google. Let me control find Browns. This is like jumping around funny. They have the Browns at 4. Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders, Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
You said Steelers?
Yeah, I mean.
Steelers are 5.
Jets. Yeah, because that makes sense.
Jets.
You sleeping on Fields?
Yeah,
I'm Jets, not sleeping on them. Jets are 3. Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor. That's it. Yep. They don't even have a third quarterback. Actually, no, that was the Patriots. Patriots brought in DeVito. I can't believe y'all haven't gotten one.
Giants?
Mm-mm. Giants are here, but they're 9. Actually, they're 10. Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston. I actually like Dart. I think Dart's going to be pretty good.
Rams?
No.
Carolina?
Rams aren't on this list. Panthers are not.
Who would be the worst?
I'm shocked that y'all haven't gotten this.
I'm shocked, too.
Yeah.
This is stunning to me.
I'm trying to think of who we haven't named here.
The worst quarterback situation in the NFL.
I think when we did our QB rankings, it was pretty clearly the Browns, the Colts, and the Saints, though.
Boom. So. Saints.
I had said Saints.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, I said the Saints could be number one
this
year.
That's the first team I named.
And then
that's my bad.
Draft and turn it all around next year.
I didn't hear y'all say Saints.
Car wreck in the name of it.
Yeah, Saints are one.
Yeah, of course.
I was wondering. Like, how are they not saying the Saints?
I said the Saints right away, and Joel pushed back. It's like, well, they could get out of it with the draft.
Maybe that's why I didn't hear that. It's because of the pushback, the quick rebuttal, the quick pushback. No, Saints are one. That's my bad. I didn't hear y'all say Saints. I was like, how in the world are they not saying the Saints? It's like these casuals. They know nothing. How do I work with these guys? They're not saying the Saints? Losers? Okay, that's my bad. I was the loser. Yeah, Saints 1, Colts 2, Jets 3, Browns 4, Steelers 5. Y'all haven't said 6 or 7.
Oh, really?
No. Actually, I haven't said 6, 7, or 9.
Seahawks?
9, I think, is ridiculous. 6 are the Seahawks.
That's a good call.
Darnold, Locke, Milroe. They're at number 6. So you still need 7 and 9.
Cardinals?
Nope.
Really? Kyler and the
Kyler's the greatest athlete on planet Earth.
The video game really. Addiction? He's so mid, though.
The greatest athlete on planet Earth.
He's a great athlete. He's mid as a quarterback.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
I'm trying to think.
You're not going to put San Francisco on
nope,
the list.
Not
Raiders?
There. Yeah, Raiders are 7.
People understand my Geno take.
Yeah.
Geno, Pickett, Aiden O'Connell, which is disrespectful. I like Geno. And then one more. One more. The one that is here is kind of I think this is more about the backups. And maybe because this guy hasn't quite lived up to potential yet, but has tons of potential.
Tennessee?
No.
Carolina?
No, you already said that.
We already said Carolina?
Heard Carolina, but didn't hear the Saints.
Tampa Bay?
Uh-uh.
No, I mean, Baker's too good.
It's not Atlanta.
Joel already said the Giants, but they would pop to mind.
Giants were 10. Already,
no, okay.
Were, nope, not Atlanta.
Just tell us.
It's the New England Patriots.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Drake May, Joshua Dobbs, and then Tommy Cutlitz.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. I think it's a bad call.
If you like Drake May, why would they be on the list?
It depends on what you think of May.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good.
I wouldn't have the Patriots here.
No, not top 10.
I wouldn't have. I would have Carolina before I have New England.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because there's so many questions about Bryce Young.
What do you think of Bryce this year?
I think he's just mid at best.
I think he has a chance to put up numbers. Offense. They gave him some better weapons.
I just worry about, like when they did the joint practices, they were still saying, like, with his height, it is a challenge for him to see everything on the field sometimes.
Never bothered Drew Brees.
Well, it's okay.
I'm talking about a Hall of Famer compared.
You mean the guy that's worse than Joe Burrow?
Texture says Dak all day, fourth round pick that plays like it. I think he's talking about the quarterbacks he'd take to start his franchise. And then you're going to pay him $60 million, so good luck there.
So I think that's where, if you were just looking at how I initially looked at this, like if you're stuck with a quarterback, you just don't know what they are, and you're paying him a large amount of money, I mean, that's where they're saying that with the picks that they got, that Dallas already might be looking to try and draft their next quarterback because you're paying Dak $60 and you don't know what you got.
Yep. Alex says worst quarterback situations, Arlington on top, I mean. That's not a great situation. Dak 60 gives you – although I do think Dak –
Joe Milton's your backup?
I think Dak – if he stays healthy, Dak will have a good year this year because he's got two really good receivers and a good tight end.
I'm going to look up sometime this week my best NFL prop bets, and I might click the button on Dak Prescott to lead the NFL in passing yards.
I could see it.
Might click it.
They don't have a running game.
Oh, their running game sucks. He's got a good tight end. He's got two really outstanding wideouts.
And their defenses.
And their lines are going to put them on the field.
Which, by the way, did you see Micah Parsons has a messed up back?
Shut up.
Did y'all see this?
No.
Well, but.
You didn't see this?
No, I didn't.
Let me pull up.
I've seen what he's talking about.
He's still going to probably play week one.
Adam Schefter tweeted this out today. The real Adam Schefter, not the fake Adam Schefter.
He's going to have an epidural.
Packers linebacker Micah Parsons has been dealing with an L4, L5 facet joint sprain in his back, and he may take an epidural injection prior to Sunday's game versus the Lions if needed to help him play, per sources. Before trading Parsons last week, the Cowboys prescribed him a 5-day plan of anti-inflammatory
cortisone.
Wait, no, it's bigger than that. Corticosteroid. A pre-dionosine to help him recover from back tightness. They also had him on a physical therapy program. Parsons has been participating this week, and he's trying to play in Sunday's opener versus the Lions. Though one source said it is still uncertain if he will.
How does that get past the physical?
They didn't care.
No, they had.
How do you not care about that?
Because they don't think it's severe.
They had the best the spine surgeon in the country also diagnosed the sprain. But they said it was a sprain and it wasn't long term.
They traded. Do you have the Mike Tyson spinal drop in there?
I don't know.
That's one of my favorite drops ever. I don't know how you don't have it in there, Brian.
Mike Tyson spinal?
Know your talent. Yeah, when Jim Gray's talking to him after the fight and Mike Tyson goes, well played. Whenever Mike Tyson goes, I broke my back. And Jim Gray, you broke your back? And then Mike Tyson goes, spinal.
I'll find it. No, I've never heard you mention it.
It's my favorite Mike Tyson drop.
I'll have it for the next show.
I broke my back. Spinal. The Packers traded 2 first-round picks and gave $48 million to a guy with a broken back.
I don't love it.
It's unbelievable.
I do not love it. Like, the reason I asked about the physical, because, like, if they didn't, like, that. I mean, Carlos Correa had the Mets and the Giants tell him go away because of his medical problem. Like, I'm surprised that the Packers might not try to undo the trade.
This is the problem of having a million owners and not one owner, is that one owner can't step in and be like, nope.
They had to go door to door all across Green Bay.
Yeah. They took a public survey or a private survey with their million owners. This is not good.
They did their due diligence on this. Don't think that I wasn't a little leery of this. But at the same time, he basically had said, physically, I'm fine. Before, during, and after, he was trying to do all this because of the fact that he was still planning on holding in with the Cowboys. But there is something there, but that he's seen multiple specialists before the trade was final.
I don't know.
It's rough to get $48 million.
I'll tell you what,
if this was Will Anderson, I'd be real nervous right now.
Back. And you didn't give him $48 million to trade 2 first for.
Yeah.
I'm less concerned about that than the day the trade was made. NFL Network was running their version of 30 for 30 on Micah Parsons, and it started to pile up with the interviews that said that he doesn't always work hard, that he falls asleep in meetings and stuff, and I'm going, oh, God, that would be a disaster.
Uncle Barney says maybe Jerry Jones isn't the worst general manager in football.
We'll see.
He traded a dude with a broken back for 2 first-round picks. I find it ironic,
and
too, that
Kenny Clark.
It's funny that he resigned Bland over the weekend.
Yeah,
like to try and salvage something with the fan base when they did that. And it's like, immediately they're all like, oh, is that what you're trying to do to make up for the fact that you let our best player go?
Long-term team building. That's what Jerry said.
I mean, they had the 31st defense in the NFL last year with the guy with a broken back.
He's joining
maybe
a defense that was pretty 31st. Good without him last year.
And they traded a guy with a broken back. All right, let's give tickets away to the ESPN listener party coming up Friday at St. Arnold's. It's your final chances to win tickets. We're going to give away a pair today, a pair on Wednesday. Of course, it's at St. Arnold Beer Hall. It's going to be great. There's going to be food from BB's Tex Orleans. Oh, yeah, that sounds fantastic. Great plate hospitality. Nico's Taqueria Arandas and Portillo's. And, of course, all the drinks from St. Arnold. And for the first time, we're bringing you the roast of the 97.5 host, as Barry Laminack will be roasting all of us. You can win a pair of tickets if you're the first person to call in right now, 713-780-3776, and tell us which NFL player we're talking about that has a busted back. 713-780-3776. Car wreck of the day coming up next. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day. 713-780-3776.
What was that?
This texter said I was mean. He said I was he was scared to talk to me.
To who?
He shouldn't be scared to talk to me. I'm warm and cuddly. I'm a little soft in the middle now. A little soft in the middle now. I'm not mean to anybody.
Are you doing crunches and whatnot in between breaks? So
lunges. I don't do crunches during the break. I don't want to get to the. I don't want to touch the ground in here.
Well, you've done push-ups.
But I was trying to flex, which I did 28 by the way. 28 that day. Probably the most I'll ever do in one setting ever. I was counting. Joe was too. Checking my math.
I counted it.
And you were looking on in awe.
They were legit.
Awe is a strong word.
All right. Joe George coming up after us. The last call with Joe George.
Just you, Joe.
That's right. It will just be Joe. AJ, too. But it's going to be fantastic. It'll be very, very good, as it always is. Car wreck of the day. What is yours, Blinkers?
I'll start with Hunter Renfrow when he was initially cut, and then the Panthers were trying to call him to get back on the roster, and the GM and Canales and the owner were all trying to call him, and he was in his car, and his daughter was watching Bluey, and he happened to step out of the car, and his daughter kept ending the calls and hanging up because she wanted to watch Bluey, and it was interrupting her video.
That's funny.
Until he got back in the call, he said, I had 10 missed calls, all from all the Panthers people, and when I called back, we were able to work it out.
What was, how old's the daughter?
He didn't say, but I think infant age. And he said, believe me, the air conditioning was on and I wasn't far from the car, but I didn't realize the phone was ringing and she was hanging up on them so she could watch Bluey.
Yeah, I'd love to know. I would love to know how old the daughter was.
To get out and leave the car?
Well, he said he didn't leave the car far, right?
No, he was outside of the car, yeah. But he made very clear.
Well, I'm curious why you're...
Just to constantly press
when you're Bluetoothing it in the car and watching it and the volume's going on in the car, every time the phone rings it cuts
right,
off.
Right, it takes preference.
Like
to
Bradham
that,
baby loves to in call whenever we FaceTime people. I want to press the button. And he like, so I wonder if the daughter is that age. That's the only thing. What else?
Did you see this last week? I'm going to struggle with the last name, but the tennis player at the U.S. Open, Mastrak.
Oh, I did see that.
He was signing for a bunch of people. He signed for this kid, and he wanted to give the kid his hat. And this adult man next to him yanked the hat away, stuck it in his wife's purse. And there were people that were coming at me saying, oh, you don't know, that might be his kid. Well, it definitely wasn't his kid. And then the internet found him. But depending on who you believe, his first response was, the kid's got to be quicker. He's got to have better instincts. He's got to do all this stuff. And then he finally came out today and apologized and claimed that the first couple of responses that were from him were not from him.
Oh, what, he got hacked?
He's a millionaire Polish businessman, and he and his wife are big tennis fans.
He's a millionaire, but what he's handing out in lessons is far more valuable. I mean, the kid was slow, and this is a capitalistic country. Like, the kid needed to learn that lesson.
Didn't Joel say he's from Poland, though?
This is one of those, but I think it was at the U.S. Open, wasn't it?
It was at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, so he taught it in American soil. He taught this lesson, which, I mean, is invaluable. It's like one of those, you always see these questions on Twitter, like, would you rather have $1 million or would you rather have 30 minutes with Jay-Z? Like, I'd rather have 30 minutes with this guy teaching this kid these lessons that he'll need to know for the remainder of his life. I thought it was, I think the kid should have told him thank you. Thank you for teaching me wisdom and lessons.
Go on Twitter and respond that way.
I would. I wouldn't have any problem doing that. My car wreck of the day is the Arch Manning hype. Not Arch Manning. Like, this should have been expected. He's going into the
not
shoe.
Not that bad, though.
He's going into the shoe. Going into the shoe. First real start. 107,000 Ohio State Buckeyes. Brutus is there. Corso is there. Everyone. We knew that Arch Manning wasn't going to play great in this game. It's the hype. The hype that anointed Arch Manning the Heisman hopeful, the Heisman favorite, anointed him the number one pick in the NFL draft. The Arch Manning hype is the bigger car wreck than Arch Manning, although Arch Manning was close. And then also the Oregon Duck who lost his head running out, and then he ran into the tunnel. He broke kayfabe, the Oregon Duck.
I said it's not the first time it happened either.
Sheesh. Happened He's like Jake year. Myers. He's the Jake Myers of mascots. What do you got?
The helmet on.
I'll nominate the actual Arch Manning and his ass performance. I'll nominate the Astros offense over the weekend, and I'll nominate Jeremy not listening to me when I clearly said Saints right away.
Me?
And they're just bulldozing over us.
Josh from Seabrook, car wreck of the day. Alden Gonzalez for his take on the blah, blah, blah. And then also Taylor Ward, he lists as a car wreck. All right, what wins?
I'm gonna say the guy that took the hat from the kid.
You always nominate your own.
Arch.
So Arch is
I
fine.
Believe it.
He's
I'm
a
like
bum.
Brian.
Arch Manning's the car wreck of the day. It does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brian. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Joe George, last call right now on ESPN 97.5.
This is back, folks.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.